Department of Transportation. Mike Marsh, would you like to come back up to the table? And Ms. Jordan, would you like to make some comments?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I put in front of you the materials that we'll be going over today for the work session. Also, there's a three-page or two-page handout that is the summary of shifts that occurred in the budget. The first page is the current services, and then the policy option packages, and then the positions that you'd asked for previously. And that's just provided for your information. If you have any questions, you can ask me about it later.
Okay.
And we'll be in our work session with the motor carrier transportation. We completed all of the highway programs in our last work session and the driver and motor vehicles. And so we will start today with motor carrier transportation. And that's the other packet that you have in front of you. Motor carrier transportation is responsible for the administering the laws and rules.
Excuse me, you're saying represent package, this handout.
The new packet.
We're done with the May 17th.
We adopted those at a previous work session.
Just the highway portion of that. I just provide you a new.
Some of this is in place now with the,
yes,
the new package.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
I thought it would be easier. I also put one of the spreadsheets on in case we keep flipping.
We're a little slow over here.
Right.
Okay. Motor carrier is responsible for the administering the rules and regulations relating to the commercial sized vehicles or size and weight of the vehicles, registration, safety, weight, mile, tax registration. The budget issue here will be if we shift from the current revenue collection method from weight mile to diesel fuel tax. But this budget does not reflect any change in that activity. The governor's budget recommends a reduction of $1.2 million in 13 FTE and agency efficiencies, and LFO is also recommending that that reduction be applied to this budget. And the governor is also recommending a reduction of 59,001 FTE to provide tax incentives to equip trucks and transponders and adjust administrative fees. This package is contingent on passage of the gas tax legislation. It's been rolled into that package, and so therefore I'm recommending that we restore that position and the money and then schedule the funds pending the outcome of that legislation, because if it doesn't pass, then there are no savings, and they'll need the FTE to continue the operation. If it does pass, then that money can be just taken out of their budget administratively. I'm also recommending that we reduce the budget $364 for the Attorney General charges from current service level. That is then a current service level budget of $41,467,228.319 FTE, for with the LFO recommendations, a total budget of $40,256,328.306 FTE, and no budget notes in this budget.
Mr. Chair. Representative Butler.
The 13 FTE are transferred positions, is that correct? The negative 13 on option package 17, 117.
Mr. Chair, Representative Butler, no, those are reduced positions for the closure of, or the closure of evening hours and night hours in the port of entry. Those positions are, most or all of those positions are already vacant, and they are, they don't need those positions.
We have, with LFO, Mr. Chair, do we have testimony on record that regarding the effect of not filling port of entry positions late at night, that it is a fiscally responsible thing to do?
Mr. Chair, that's
about
yes.
Okay, thank you
very much. Okay, further questions or comments? Not, the chair would entertain a motion to accept the LFO recommendation.
So moved.
Representative Butler now moves that we adopt the LFO recommendation on the Oregon Department of Transportation Motor Carrier Transportation Regulations, $40,256,328. $256,328 and 306 FTE. Is there a discussion? Is there objection? If not, it's all approved.
Okay, Mr. Chair, then that's the Program Area of Transportation Development Division that is responsible for the planning and policy development focusing on the transportation system. The primary budget issues in transportation development are related to the duplication, the possible duplication of services relating to transportation growth management with the Department of Land Conservation and Development, and that is addressed through a budget note. And the second budget issue is the grant application for transportation and community system preservation pilot project, and the governor's approach to delivering that. That is also addressed through a budget note. The governor budget recommends a $15 million increase for the transportation community and system preservation pilot program. That includes $3.7 million of federal funds for 18 personnel in economic development, DEQ, housing, and administrative services for the community solutions team. And I've recommended that that $15 million be unscheduled pending the outcome of the grants, receiving of the grants, and that we allow funding for the community solutions team to be backfilled with the flexible planning from federal funds. The governor's recommended budget is $4 million federal funds to assist the development of local government transportation system plans, shifting $537,000 from the 49 from existing services, personal services to fund four FTE to support our road approach permit reviews. Reduced $400,000 of flexible service contracts used to extend staff resources with project delivery, transportation modeling, and the transportation growth management program. And reducing the budget $24,000 by replacing temporary workers and contractors with four positions. Services and supplies is reduced $313,000. Personal services is increased $289,000. That results in a net a decrease of $24,000. LFO recommends that you approve the budget in the amount of $55,289,535 and 125.57 FTE, and make these adjustments. Reduce general funds a total of $8,585 for attorney general charges and $8,523 in current service level efficiency. Allow the technical adjustment transferring positions between transportation development, safety, and transit of $29,037, other funds and one FTE. Reduce the other funds a total of $107,674, $5,311 for attorney general charges, and $102,353.6 for FTE and policy option packages related to access management, coordination and analysis mapping and data to reflect the recruitment period, and policy package 114 requests that money be unscheduled. So there's a total of 8,523 4% efficiency reductions in general fund and 5,373 for attorney general charge reduction. The current service level spend is $36,787. A reduction of $66,541 to shifting money from supplies and services to personal services, reducing 2 months salary for the recruitment period. That would be a small decrease in FTE in the access management coordination package. For a total of 3.68 FTE for that package. Approve the T21 project, $19 million. $15 million that supports the Governor's Livability Initiative and $4 million for local system planning. $400,000 reduction in their options for change, and an additional decrease of $60,338 to shift, again, shift money from supplies and services and personal services for analysis, mapping, and data package, policy package, reducing that 2 months for the salary. There is an additional technical adjustment that was requested by the agency to shift positions among the programs connected to development, safety, and transit. That would result in an increase here of $29,000 in one FTE, and ALFO recommends the adjustment for a total budget of $55,289,535.127 FTE.
Are there any questions prior to moving to the budget notes? Representative Patrick.
I just wondered on the community solutions team, we weren't going to fund all 18 personnel.
We're going to move down to the community solutions team in the form of a budget note in just 2 minutes.
But the appropriations, I thought, was for the whole 3.7, and I thought that we had reduced it almost to half the amount of people on the community solutions team. I'm still wondering why we're giving the full 3.7. I'm not comfortable with that.
Mr. Chair, Representative Patrick, the amount of money that would be transferred would be equal to the amount that you approved in the other budgets. The appropriation here would continue to work on planning projects, so it wouldn't, if you've approved a lower amount in the other budgets for the FTE, then it would not be shifted from transportation planning.
Okay. As an example, if you've appropriated X amount of dollars to LCBC to be involved with the planning unit, ODOT could not extend more than that. They have to be the same amount of money. And what their intent is to spend the same amount of money in the community solutions team that everybody else is funding.
Mr. Chair, I might be able to clarify. The Department of Transportation has requested a total package of $14 million for the system preservation pilot. Within that amount of money is the amount that would be transferred to those other agencies to support community solutions teams. Only the amount that is needed in those departments for the positions that you approved would transfer. The rest would stay in transportation for the transportation pilot project that they had initially planned. So the money would go to grants to local governments.
But I guess we have no way of controlling what the other budgets are going to do. I haven't been following each one of the other budgets easily either. I mean, there was concern here, both from Senator Duke and from Representative Schrader and myself and others, about how many positions were going to be available and what the cost of those were. And we tried to reduce that substantially. And now I'm not comfortable if we're approving the budget and it's talking about 18 positions and all these departments, because I didn't think we were going to fund some of the people in some of these departments. Like housing, I got two or the four they were asking for. I didn't think we were doing anything with, I didn't think we did anything with CEQ.
Representative Patridge, if the other budgets have been approved by the legislature, ODOT, and that is the source of funds that they have approved, they would be obligated to transfer that amount of money to those budgets. If you lower the limitation in this budget, then you are lowering their ability to do their other programs related to planning. So, for example, the Department of Administrative Services had five positions in that budget. That budget did pass out of Ways and Means and through the legislature, funded with the transportation planning money. It will be funded that way.
Okay.
Do you agree with that?
As I understand the way it would work, the amount of money we fund is really dictated by what's in the other budget. We have planning money, in the department, and whatever you allow in the other budget, we then put out, and that which we don't doesn't go out stays in our program and goes for planning research.
Yes.
Sir, my point is that if we don't, I don't know what, I thought we had an agreement from her end for less than the 3.7 million. And if the money's not there, then they can't fill the position in the other departments. But I'm confused why we're funding this whole 3.7 million. Because part of the point too was is to try and put that money back into ODOT to allow them to use that for roads and other things. So that's where I'm confused, I guess. If you're telling me we've approved $3.7 million worth of positions and other budgets, then I'm not happy with that, I guess.
Mr. Chair, Representative Hodges, I'm not telling you that you've approved $3.7 million worth of positions because I know that it was reduced in one of the budgets, but I don't recall whether it was DEQ or whether it was LCDC for housing.
Grace?
Mr. Chairman, I think housing went down by 2, and I don't think you approved anything in DEQ.
Okay.
And the way, I don't think, I guess I'm kind of caught between the two interpretations, but I think you're both saying the same thing in that the 3.7 has gone down. It is reduced. We are not spending 3.7 in this program. And so if there's some way to represent, without offending staff here, there's some way to represent that the CST portion has gone down, that's what I think what staff and I are both saying is the CST amount of 3.7 has been reduced to something else, and then that money, instead of going for the CST, would go for the planning and research, the other things that we had originally scheduled it for.
Sure. Representative Patrick, I can bring that back tomorrow in work session for you, and we can just pass over that piece of it today if you want.
If you want to send it out to me, I would find it.
Mr. Chair, the fact is that the expenditure limitation is an upward limit, and our limit is really controlled by what the agencies can spend. So we're not going to send out to the agencies more than what you've approved in their budget, and that's what's controlling here. If the members want to have something stated in our budget to make sure that's clear, we can do that. But the legal limit is what those agencies have, and so we can't send to them more than what you've already approved in their budgets, which were the cuts that Grace mentioned about DEQ and housing.
Okay. Are you finished with your questions? Senator Dukes.
I'd be concerned at this point in the session about agencies getting creative. So I'm with Representative Patridge, and it would be helpful to see that the amount of money that ODOT is being told to go ahead and spend in with other agencies is in line with what the other agencies are told that they're supposed to spend. And I'm curious, I don't think all of the money is planning money. And I guess because we've bounced around a little, I've gotten lost as to how much is still T21 money that can be spent on roads and how much is T21 money that can only be spent for planning and not roads, and just what happens to what we told them not to spend. I've heard somebody say something about grants to cities and counties, and I guess that's fine, but one of the goals of this legislature seemed to be to get money onto state highways, and so I tend to carry that as a little higher priority.
I'll try to identify some of that. We started out with identifiable T21, and then the department said, let's identify those as federal funds. And they're federal funds that can be spent for planning without being spent on the highway system itself. And that's what the Community Solutions Team is. We segregated those funds that are federal funds to be used for the Community Solutions Teams that is separate from those that should be used for highway maintenance or improvements or whatever else. Is that fair assumption?
All administrative money at this point?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Duke, the full 3.7 or the now reduced number, and I just don't know what that reduced number is, is coming from our research and planning money. It's money that can't be used on the road. The Federal Highway Administration gives it to us explicitly for research kinds of things, modeling, that sort of thing. So
we made that as a policy decision to reinvest the money back on the highway system. Senator, our representative Butler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just would like to have LFO come back to the second bullet at the bottom of the page under LFO recommendations for a lot of technical adjustments, transfer positions between CG, safety, and transit of $29,037. That's a recent change from where we were at, and $29,000 won't fund one FTE. Is that
That's the net amount of the shifting that they've requested between the program areas. It is not an increase in total FTE, and it's not an increase in dollars. There's a decrease, a corresponding decrease in safety and transit.
So it's picked back up over in the, okay,
right.
Thank you. That's all I have.
Representative Starr.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The question I have is, this was originally funded with $2.1 that could be funded on the roads. We found some other planning dollars that we can use. What's backfilling those planning dollars? And what it seems to me is just a shell game, because you just take money from here to fund this, and the money that was here is going to go back over here. And reality is that we're going to fund this, and we're not going to get that whatever $1 million, however much it is. It's going to be spent here instead of in road projects.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Starr, the federal government gives every state some planning and research dollars. And when T21 passed, part of that was an increase of about $4 million in planning and research. The reason they do is because there's not generally, no offense to anyone in the room or not in the room, there's, you know, rarely, except for some state colleges and things, advocates for more modeling and stuff. They're mostly the government employees that are there. And so the federal government, to make sure you're updating your models, you're gathering your data, you're doing your research, that sort of thing, and trying new programs. They gain from the experiments. So because states don't generally raise gas taxes to do that kind of work, they give us a designated amount of money that cannot go on the road. It has to be used for experimental kinds of programs. And so we got an increase of $4 million in that category. Now, we were in the process of going through and figuring out how much would go to modeling and how much would go to this, and we're trying to protect the modeling. But in terms of the other kind of experiments, this is one of the experiments, so we would choose to use it in this area. So there are other things we are not doing, but it's in the area of trying new ways to improve the way we do our operations, that sort of thing.
Ms. Jordan, do you have explanation on the budget notes?
This is true. There are four budget notes. The first one is that the department is directed to ensure that membership of any advisory group established to facilitate asset management programs includes at least 50% of private citizens not associated with special interest groups, and the director is expected to report on the results to Ways and Means during the next regular session. This is a request of the subcommittee during public hearing. The second budget note is the also requested during public hearings that the Department of Transportation and Department of Land Conservation and Development are directed to include a representative of the Rural Farm Bureau as a member of the Transportation Growth Management Program Advisory Committee. And the Department of Transportation and Department of Land Conservation and Development shall develop a plan to achieve cost savings and operational efficiencies by identifying changes in rules and procedures that will reduce administrative costs of the program. And the agency shall provide a joint report to the Ways and Means Committee during the next regular session.
I like the way that you enhanced that note. You're not just throwing another member on there from the Rural Farm, but to also look at the cost savings and achieving the cost savings, identifying those items which benefit that amplified language.
Senator,
I guess the idea is to see if the two can consolidate into one rather than have two agencies doing the same thing.
That's one thing for them to look at. Another would be to look at ways that they could reduce staff by allowing local governments to be more on point in the process.
More involved.
More right. Once they issue a grant, reduce some of their oversight costs.
Yes, because I think it's a shame that local government has to send two applications.
Okay.
The third budget note is have the departments, in conjunction with updating their I-5 corridor or rail plan, incorporate a feasibility study for the passenger rail service between Grants Pass and Ashland, and the departments will report the results to Ways and Means Committee during the next regular session. The last budget note is related to the Community Solutions team. And this is a budget note that is going in all of the budgets that have Community Solutions team members, that they consist of the five agency directors: housing, economic development, land conservation and development, environmental quality, and transportation. Shall meet biweekly to solve community development problems and break down institutional barriers between levels of government. Further, the legislature believes regional Community Solutions teams, consisting of selected field representatives of these five agencies, should be convened to meet at least monthly, more often as local issues arise, and work closely at the local level on solving problems and representing state community development interests early in local projects and issues. The five agencies must cooperate and supply sufficient qualified and empowered staff to support the Community Solutions team's effort. These regional field staff should have clear and direct access to their respective directors and the necessary authority to solve problems at the local level. In addition, the legislature supports establishing regional coordinators who will coordinate regional team efforts, will have direct access to the executive and director's offices, and will bring in other agencies as necessary to ensure that issues are addressed or problems are solved. Any federal transportation funds transferred to the Department of Administrative Services, Housing and Community Services, Department of Land Conservation and Development, Economic Development, and Department of Environmental Quality to pay for Community Solutions team personnel or services shall be limited to those funds restricted to planning activities.
Okay, you've heard the recommendation on the proposed budget note. Is there a discussion? Senator Duke.
I'm still on the question, Fish. Transportation growth management. Am I in the wrong section here for that? I was curious. That's where, or at least a piece of that, is where ODOT is transferring money over to CLCD that they're handing out in grants. And I was wondering what we ended up doing with that. Is it the same number of people and the same amount of money? It's just a different funding source?
Mr. Chair, we didn't make any changes to that program. It's recommended to remain the same. What we've done through budget note here is ask the department to look at ways to achieve cost savings and operational efficiencies by identifying ways that they can change that program.
So we're still using flexible T21 money for it?
Yes.
It seems to be a no on the budget. This is back to my story of the DLCD person who said Safeway is my client. And he was doing that with flexible T21 money and handing out a grant to hire a consultant to be able to determine where Safeway stores should be located with minimal impact to transportation. It has become too liberal a program. There aren't enough sidebars on it to make sure that the relationship is to transportation is very clear and well drawn. I didn't get anything out of the LCD when they were here talking about it to give me raise my comfort level that it will be related to transportation, and yet we're spending money to do it that could be spent on highway projects. So, I'm willing to do some trade-off if you can show me that it has a direct relationship to highways and or traffic control or some, transportation thing. But there's there's nothing there to do that. I can't, I'm glad we worked out the community solutions team, and I'm comfortable with that, but this one is just something that bothered me. I mean, it just seems like a really nice giveaway program. And considering the fact that we can't fill potholes or pave today, what we would like to, I have no idea whether we'll ever get a gas tax out of here. I'm not going to go there.
Ms. Jordan.
Senator Duke, I had done an analysis of the Transportation Growth Management Program and provided that to the committee. And in that analysis, it shows that 3% of all of the money is going to administering the program, and that the rest of that program money is going to program. There are 21 staff that provide technical assistance to the local government in their grant programs, and that they're in that. A large portion of the money is going directly to the local government for their grant activities, which grants are for transportation plans, my understanding.
Some of it is. By no means all of it is.
All of it?
Yeah. And the other is going to grant the communities to do things like buy grocery stores. And if you're going to worry about setting a grocery store where there's a lot of traffic congestion, and that's a big part of what you're doing, then yeah, transportation money makes a lot of sense. But if you're, if that's not what you're doing, if you're putting it into an area of low transportation impact, and the idea is something completely different. I think it's a good program. I just think the funding source is truly.
Okay. Further questions? Okay, Ms. Jordan.
There's one last issue, and Representative Schrader isn't here to address it. He has been trying to work out some wording on a budget note that would address access management plans and exception policies, but there needs to be some further clarification before we can address that, and I will defer that until later then.
Senator Dukes, would you... certainly the chair would entertain at some point if you want to modify the fourth budget note to deal with the concerns that you have on these funds. The chair would certainly be willing to try to accommodate you as much as possible because we're not interested in running a bailout over the top of anybody, and I'd rather work with you than have you perhaps be forced to vote no on something that the rest of you might very well support. So, being the same consideration as the House wanted to deal with some language in there that addresses Senator Duke's questions, is the House so inclined? Mr. Chivers, Representative Butler?
I thought that the Community Solutions team budget, which is essentially amplified and it is very clear, was going to deal with the consolidation issue that we talked about, or the potential for the consolidation, particularly of the Department of Transportation with the Department of Land Conservation Development, and achieving the cost savings and efficiencies and the procedures and rulemaking and on the ground issues. I'm wondering if we could actually use the word somewhere in that process, maybe back up into the second budget note, using the word consolidation or work towards consolidation.
That would be the budget note that I believe Senator Dukes is referring to, the second budget note, even with the transportation growth management.
I appreciate your offer, Mr. Chairman. I'll pick you up on it. What I'm interested in, I mean, I would actually prefer to reduce the amount of money going to DLCD, but if we're not going to do that, in lieu of that, at least to put some strong sidebars to the majority of the project, of a project, the majority of it is a direct relationship to transportation. And the transportation planning stuff that the cities and counties are doing has no problem passing that. And the rest of it shouldn't have if we're going to put transportation money into it.
Okay. Representative Starr?
I just want to touch on this transportation growth management. As a local city councilor, we use those significant, I mean, those dollars were very important to us. Mm-hmm. And I support the in this budget. As long as we're going to have the state mandating certain stuff the locals have to do, we ought to be helping them get them done. And that's what this money's really for. And some of it, unfortunately, is used to buy grocery stores, unfortunately, I guess. But I know in my community that that's not what it's used for. It's used for the transportation system plans, and it's come in very handy and very helpful for the communities in my district.
Well, Representative Butler has proposed some language, Ms. Jordan. Is this proposed language for the second budget? No. Representative Butler, would you like to identify it?
Well, Mr. Chair, again, I anticipate the community solutions team, which is being addressed in the fourth note there, would address some issues towards the consolidation. Certainly, the empowerment is a portion of that, and when we empower, it seems like that we do some consolidation because we're after a decision. A single group gives us a single decision, and that decision is either yes or no, or right here, yes. So when I'm looking at the second full sentence of the second budget note there, the Department of Transportation and the Department of Land Conservation Development shall develop a plan to achieve cost savings and operational efficiencies by identifying changes in rules and procedures that will reduce administrative costs of the program. I had inserted there and worked towards consolidation of their efforts to achieve such efficiencies because that's what we're after. We're after the consolidation of those efforts there's really no reason to have the Land Conservation Development Commission and the transportation run two different levels for the transportation growth management portion of it, and then come back and have them working on community solutions team to achieve the balance of the efforts of consolidation where decisions can be made. So,
okay.
That would be just a suggestion. I don't know that it addresses directly what Senator Deese is really looking for, but I have a great deal of empathy for her concern. I should.
Senator Deese, do you have a response to that proposal?
And to be perfectly honest, and I was making a note over here, I didn't hear what you said, so I apologize. I'm sure it was good.
His concern that he expressed was duplication of Community Solutions Teams and LCDC. The fact that money might be used for two different, for the same agency for two different reasons rather than incorporating it into one reason, and that was to do site planning for highways and not other types of projects, as I understand him to say.
Again, the Transportation Growth Management Program Advisory Committee being made up of two of the members of the Community Solutions Team almost defeat a portion of what the Community Solutions Team should be working towards. And so the efforts should be, in my way of thinking, Mr. Chair, the efforts would be an attempt to work towards consolidation in such management before as possible. And because we're empowering the Community Solutions Team down below to handle most everything, and to be able to give the yes and no decisions, and Transportation Growth Management under Budget Note 2, might be stifled by the Land Conservation Development being a separate and distinct agency and not working toward a consolidated effort relative to such transportation growth management.
John, I think I'm impressed. He's got an important little piece of all of this. When DLCC testified, the reason there's a bunch of people involved in their piece of transportation growth management is they're planners. They're additional planners that DLCD has hired with T21 money to go out and do things in the communities. And some of it may be transportation planning and some of it may not be. It's sort of now cities and counties have more land use planners from DLCD that can go out and help them do whatever it is they need to do. And so it doesn't necessarily relate to transportation. I know that, at least in my area, community solutions teams tie into the transportation growth management. That's where the grocery store money came from. And it's a community solutions team and say, hey, there's a fund over here. There's a pot of money. Let's try that one. And so there is some, I don't know if that's true all over the state, there is some relationship, but you're right. We're using transportation. We're using T21 money to hire land use planners that don't necessarily have any relationship to the community solutions team, whatever. You'd like to believe that they will, but there's no reason to know that they do.
Efforts necessary would be to try and work them towards common goals and consolidation of their combined efforts.
Is there further discussion? Chair would entertain a motion to withhold adoption of this budget note until it can be identified as consensus of the committee, because it appears that the committee is deeply divided over what it would achieve. Represent Butler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Does either the director or Mr. Marsh, would they have any? Am I making a mountain out of a molehill? Am I perceiving a problem where there is none? I guess, Director Franken.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Butler, sir, if I could set the. I don't know if it's beneficial to answer that question. I don't think. There are two separate programs. And I know a road looks like it's made out of concrete, and these other programs look like they're made out of mush from some people's point of view, okay? But what I found inside is we've got these, the land use laws say that the land use laws have in them a transportation rule, and it tells cities and counties what to do. And this TGM program primarily addresses that problem of getting the transportation system plans done. And I want to, in this context, clarify something I said, and then conclusions were sort of drawn from that. When I said half the grant program goes to TSPs, it goes to transportation system plans, grants for local governments directly. And then there are two other categories of grants that are given. One is for basically the refinement of TSPs, that is, they're already adopted, but they have some outstanding issues. And then the other one is for sort of urban service issues. When you've got service districts, you've got some problems with service districts and cities and counties and trying to figure out who does what. And so that, of the $11.5 million, $8.6 goes out to grants to the local government. Then there is a $2.6 million amount which goes to supply people, of which most of that is the technical help that DLCD provides, and this new employee who made the unfortunate statement about Safeway is my client. I agree with the Senator Duke, so that's a lousy statement to make, but that's the part that's so 8.6 goes to grants, almost exclusively targeted to this state law that says we need to do land use planning and trying to match the transportation program with the land use program. Then this technical assistance, 2.2 of it goes to these technical positions, and 0.3 of it is the administration, which staff refer to. And so it seems to me, and the community solutions problem is, community solutions team problems come into, it have some impact on these transportation system plans if they decide they want an industrial area to go over here, and then there's therefore an implied transportation impact. And so I think Representative Butler is correct. They sort of dovetail. But if there were two circles, and my hands represented the two circles, they're really only about this much. I know it's a little tough on the visual committee, et cetera, but there's really only about this much that overlaps, okay? And then there's a whole bunch of stuff the community solutions team is looking at, prison sightings, that sort of thing, where transportation is we get impacted in terms of the financial impact. It's very significant, you know, to plop a $9 million solution down or something. But in terms of the work that goes in with the community, it's trying to get the programs, you know, meshed up and make sure that the citizens are getting what they want out of the various state governments. So they really are solving, the community solutions teams look at a whole wide array of things that this one program that's part of the transportation systems plan does not. Senator Dukes is absolutely correct. If we didn't spend this $10 million bucks on grants to local governments to meet those needs, it could go out in the pavement. That's been the case, though, throughout the last, I think, two biennia. And I personally will stand up for it and say that it's worthwhile to get clear what the game plans are with the locals and to help with it's not just our mandates, but the LCD's mandates and helping the communication. It also provides a table that we can sit down to with them and work it through. And if you come with money, we're not quite as bad as if you don't, and somebody has to pay for it. And it can be your choice as to what it is. If we don't pay for it, we disinvest in this particular area, it's just going to be more ugly conflicts without any money to resolve them, without any technical assistance or whatever. So most of the cash goes to grants, and part of it comes in technical assistance. And I think when I was before the committee before, I applaud getting sort of, if you will, the attention of the DLCD staff and having some money to pay for it so we can stay focused on this transportation issue. That's very helpful from our point of view.
Is there further discussion or questions? We'll just defer adopting the budget notes and see if we can work out some compromise on the language.
Chair, is it appropriate to go ahead and adopt the LFO recommended budget without the budget notes?
Yes, you can. Representative Butler would move that we adopt the LFO recommendation for the Transportation Development Division, $55,289,535.125.57 FTE.
In light of Dr. Representative Cassis's questions about dollar numbers going to whatever that was.
It's interrupting this morning.
Do we need an adjustment for that? I don't know.
Sure, I'm more comfortable with it if we can cap it within the realm of the budget. If we can go back and say what these positions are going to cost, then we cap it, then we control. This is maybe my only one time to touch at least this budget again for the community solutions teams. I'd like to cap the amount that's going to be transferred. We know what those positions are going to cost already.
Yeah, that can be included in the budget note on community solutions team as instructions to the department, and that wouldn't affect the dollars spent in the base budget.
Why wouldn't we want to affect the dollars? It seems to me that we've Mr. Chair, sorry. We've had a long discussion about budget notes upon which we do not agree, and there was a formal discussion before I stepped out for a little while about the money. And our legislative fiscal officer said that she would go and look at these other budgets and find out what it is, and I think it should be capped at that amount. Budget notes, we have discussed this before, don't really have the weight of law, and dollars seem to have a little bit more weight. And so Oregon Department of Transportation seems to be in agreement with that to the idea that their limitation is to send off what these dollars are, but why don't we, as a committee, limit that amount? Find out what it is, limit it in the budget.
Mr. Chair, the total package of $14 million, you would still have to give the department instructions of what that cap is, because the balance of whatever they don't transfer will stay with the department for their program relating to research and planning.
Mm-hmm. So it would still, it wouldn't affect the total dollars here, but it would affect the instructions that you give to the department and would have to be included in either the budget narrative or the budget notes.
So to move along, Representative Butler, if you would withdraw your motion.
I certainly do.
Okay. Representative Butler refers. Yeah. And withdraw this motion, and we will move on to the next session. Section. Ms. Jordan.
Next session is section of Transportation and Safety Division. This division, this program area, advocates safety throughout the state through their education, enforcement, and engineering. And they operate through over 150 grants and contracts awarded to local agencies, nonprofit groups, and private sectors. This is in addition to any projects that are in the SIP for that address safety concerns. The governor is recommending $4 million additional T21 federal funding for the traffic safety incentive project. This is the
bonus money that was provided because we have, primarily because we have the 6 feet belt law and our alcohol content law. The LFO is recommending that we approve that package and that we allow a technical adjustment here of minus $13,350 other funds and minus $53,435 federal funds and minus one FTE. That is part of that adjustment that's going on between the transfers of TDD, safety, and transit. That's a net decrease of $66,793.
And there's still a remaining $31,000? Excuse me, I beg your pardon, Mr. Chair. There's still a net difference of about $44,000.
There's another program.
Okay, thank you.
That's for a total budget of $16,824,298.17.04 FTE.
How do we lose the position? I was just curious. We've reduced the position from current.
The department has identified a position that is more appropriately classified or works under the Transportation Development Program, so there's a shift.
That's right. That was back about 2 pages.
Okay. Is there further discussion? Chair would now entertain a motion to accept the LFO recommendation.
Chair, I move the LFO recommendation to your Department of Transportation.
Senator Kitab,
right.
Senator Kitab moves the committee adopt the LFO recommendation of $16,824,298 and a 17.04 FTE for Transportation Safety Division. Is there discussion?
Chair.
Senator Dukes.
Just out of curiosity, who represents the permanent traffic signal at the 207th and Sandy Boulevard intersection near the I-84 Fairview interchange that's in the budget here?
We'll get to that momentarily.
Okay.
Is there further discussion? If not, the LFO recommendation is adopted. Now we'll move to the budget.
Sorry about that.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The first budget note was brought to the committee's attention by the, I believe it was AAA Association and Representative Mannix. This is to direct the department to develop plans consistent with the governor's strategic approach to statewide cooperative policing to target hazardous violations that are or can lead to aggressive driving incidents using available federal National Highway Traffic Safety Administration funds. The plan should be designed to help the involved state and local law enforcement agencies fulfill their respective roles as identified in cooperative policing agreements. And the department is directed to provide the legislature with a report on the results of these efforts to the appropriate policy and budget committees during the next regular session. This budget note is aimed at focusing some of that increased enhancement of $4 million on getting traffic cops, I think, more on the road. And approved by co-chairs. The second budget note is the Department of Transportation is directed to work with local jurisdictions that have identified traffic signals meeting the priorities, determining if a signal is warranted to identify funding sources, included but not limited to local MATS, National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, federal funds, the state highway trust funds, and priorities should be given to local jurisdictions to provide a 50% match for traffic signals located on state highways. This is a request of Representative Schrader giving weight to those local jurisdictions to meet warrants and provide some of the match that their traffic signals be funded.
Yes, sir,
the traffic signals meeting the priorities. What priorities? It sounds fine. I just don't understand.
Grace, would you like to respond to that?
To jump through to get the money.
Grace, would you like to respond to that question?
Mr. Chairman, I'm not sure I caught the question. I apologize. The
question was in budget note item two, says priority should be given to local jurisdictions who provide 50% match for traffic signals located on state highways. But it's using a priority system. Whose priority? Is it local government's priority? Is it state of Oregon's priority? Is it ODOT? Is it the commission's priority? whose priority is it?
Mr. Chairman, just if I were to perceive this as a director, I didn't write this budget note, but I would assume you're talking about the commission's priority list of projects, correct? Each region has its own set of priorities. Information is provided to the regions by the traffic safety folks. I think both budget note 2, though, and budget note 3, if you're talking about the expenditure for signals, doesn't come through the traffic safety budget. It comes through the highway budget. I don't know if that makes any difference here.
Well, it says the Department of Transportation is directed to work with local jurisdictions that have identified traffic signals meeting the priority determining if a signal is warranted. And I don't know what priority those are. Does the agency have a list of, if Seaside wants a traffic signal, does the agency have a list of priorities that they have to go to determine that the signal is warranted?
Mr. Chair, I actually have better wording for that budget note than I the Department of Transportation in Oregon, the Department of Transportation is directed to work with local jurisdictions that have identified traffic signals meeting the priorities determining if a signal is warranted to identify funding sources included but not limited to local MATs, National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, federal funds, and Safety Highway Trust Funds. The priorities are traffic safety. There are warrants that the department has identified, and your department have a list of what those standards are that a traffic signal needs to meet in order to do that. And what you're saying is that that's more appropriately located in a highway program.
Mr. Chairman, warrants for us as opposed to warranted, warrants have to do with, there's several criteria related to a signal that you take into account, and unfortunately one of them is fatalities, accidents, there's some other issues that are there. We go through a process, yes, we know which intersections have which problems and what the traffic warrants are for signals, so we do a ranking so that we know if a project's going to go through an area, we do a ranking to know whether a signal is warranted with the warrants.
So the intent there is that if they meet all this criteria, then consideration for high priority should be given to the local governments that meet one or more of those signal warrants and who can provide a 50% match for traffic signals located on state highways, and that funding during the biennium then should be reported to the
basically agency. You're telling the agency that if they've jumped through the hoops already, go out and expend an extra amount of energy to help them find some federal or other money to build, put in the traffic light. Okay, I've never thought in any sense to put traffic lights in the street.
So I'd replace it with the better wording so it's more clear.
Okay. Representative Butler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As Director Cronican knows, this probably gets pretty close to a very sensitive nerve for me, and my concern is that in that footnote somewhere in that budget note, I certainly want to say that a traffic signal would raise to a higher level of need than cutting off access to the adjacent properties, and that's a major concern to me.
I might indicate that access is part of another bill that we already passed in the Senate dealing with access, and I think I understand your question is where you have a traffic signal limiting access to the roadway, is that what you're
saying? Well, where there is no traffic signal,
yeah.
rather than intentionally come and limit the access by median barriers or by action, not taking away the right to ingress and egress from the property, but taking away the ingress and egress to the state highway, in effect,
yeah.
By putting a median bearing down the state highway and saying, well, Merry Christmas, sir. We didn't do anything to your property. The median barrier just happens to preclude people from turning in and out of your property. And I'd like to say, this has come pretty close to a sensitive nerve for me. And I
did you want to propose some additional language in the form of a budget note?
Well, let me work on this, Chair. I guess my concern is that traffic signals should be given a higher priority than limiting access to properties, private properties. And that's the State Highway Department has a history of being able to say, well, we're not touching your property. All we're doing is we're just putting a median barrier so that people can't get in and out of your property. And it's all on our property that is being affected. It's not on your property at all. You still have your curb cuts. And so I guess my concern is that traffic signals should be given higher priority than median barriers and other restrictions to access the property.
Okay, Ms. Marsh, would you like to comment or Grace comment? The only thing that concerns me, and I'll be real candid with you, Representative, is we're getting bogged down here with budget notes, and I'd rather keep them as much as possible identified. You know, if there's a specific problem, we can address it. And that's what we've tried to do in some of these budget notes. But if there's something we can get on the record as the intent for ODOT and what Representative Butler just said about access using the median strip down the highway on the 2-lane highway to keep people from accessing their property, is not a good intention if you want to feature light at that place and limit access to the property owners. That's part of the frustration that's going on right now all over the state. I have a road like that in Eagle Point, Highway 62, and they put out a median from White City to Eagle Point, which is about 7 or 8 miles. And you can't make a right turn, you can't make a left turn, you're just in a funnel seat. And yet people don't have access to their property. So I think that's the issue that the good representative is trying to express, that there's frustration on the amount of legislators and constituents who've had their property in effect rendered useless because of the access issue. Senator Duke.
I was wondering, Representative Butler, would it be helpful if you had some budget note were to say something like that ODOT should look for other alternatives when possible to raise medians on state highways?
And that's exactly, that would be the last sentence that I would put on the budget note too there, is that in all cases traffic signals will be given a higher priority for traffic control and the use of median barriers or other restrictions for access to property.
That piece actually makes me a little nervous, if I can, because of things like Highway 101, where traffic is at a crawl now, and adding more traffic signals. I think that there are other creative ways besides traffic signals sometimes, and besides raised medians, to get to where they need to be. But if you put traffic signals on, there are parts of my district you might not want to visit in the summer.
Representative Butler, if you wouldn't mind a recommendation, I would recommend that you meet with LFO staff, work out. That should probably be in transportation and maintenance, management. And then we haven't adopted that yet, so
okay,
we can address that.
Chair, Representative Beck, just a quick comment. I'm struck at this discussion and the previous discussion we had. It strikes me that part of the reason that we need to do more of the planning to avoid the very problems we're frustrated with property owners and bad land use, bad property decisions, bad road decisions, so that 20 years later, someone ends up with a congestion problem that requires a median that conflicts with a stoplight. That's exactly why we need to do a better job up front, planning for landowners and get some guidance early on in the process.
The only thing I'd point out to you is one size doesn't fit all.
No, I know.
And that's exactly been part of the problem, is that they try to apply the same standard in the urban centers, rural areas, and it simply has not worked. You don't take a rural part of Jackson County and put a median strip down the middle of it when farmers can't have access to their property. I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that out.
Seems original.
Okay? Is there any objection to adoption of the other budget note, the last one? It was a question that Cindy Duke had no explainer.
I just want to know who represented that particular traffic light.
Represented Minnis.
Okay.
And there was a traffic light at this intersection during the construction of the Wood Village exit. As soon as the contractor was finished, the traffic light came down. The citizens of Gresham and Wood Village, Fairview, want this traffic light to continue, and this is a budget note encouraging ODOT to take the corrective procedures to find a permanent source of funding for installation of this traffic light.
Actually, Mr. Chair, this budget note directs ODOT to spend $150,000 of the enhanced of the bonus for $450 money.
I wasn't trying to do that.
And the signal is still there, but it is planned to be removed and community does not.
See, what is it? So leaving it there for $150,000?
That was the amount that
Okay, anything that doesn't even need to
have a
little
thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman?
Yeah.
To that particular note, if it were encouraged to look at and we looked at the warrant, I think we can follow that to direct us to put up the signal when there may not be any warrants or it may not be justified. We would have a great difficulty with that. As I understand the issue is we put a temporary signal up and the citizens like that signal, and if we could do some kind of an analysis to figure out whether it's warranted once it comes up.
The only problem is, Greg, and I understand your reluctance, but many times when you study things like we study things in this building, we have reams and reams of studies and no action. And this is encouraged to develop some action, not encourage you to study the issue. Study of the issue has already been there because the temporary light was up during the construction. Now the people want light, and we're responding to them. Is there further discussion on this? Is there any objection to the adoption of these three budget notes? If not, it's been so approved. And Representative Butler, you'll work with Cap on the maintenance issue. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to move to the rail division so that we can accommodate their scheduling needs, and then we will adjourn for today and that tomorrow with the rest of the program.
Just briefly, we'll open public hearing work session on the rail division of ODOT. Ms. Jordan?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The rail division regulates the highway railroad grade crossing safety program and manages the federal grade crossing improvement project to prevent crashes and injuries at highway railroad crossings. The Secretary has recommended $41,760,000 to continue the current service level and implement the next phase of projects to incrementally develop the high-speed rail services in the Willamette Valley-Eugene-Portland corridor and adds one position. The package is funded by the $14 million general funds and $27.76 million federal funds. The Legislative Fiscal Office is recommending that package be reduced to $14 million general fund and $25 million federal funds. because the general fund is not available to match the federal funds to continue the project. There is substantive legislation that also addresses this, and if the money is found, it can be incorporated into that legislation. That leaves $3.9 million for the rail stations that in along the corridor. There is $3.4 million package of federal funds for the rehabilitation of the Coos Bay Rail Bridge and Light Density Line Pilot Project. A $149,000 increase in one position to assess the adequacy and compliance with railroad operating practices. $600,000 from the highway program is shifted to railroad for the grade crossing improvements. That shift more accurately reflects where the program is being administered in their program budget. So LFO is recommending a total budget of $22,379,172. That is also to include an increase in the general fund allocation to complete a commuter rail study in Washington County. This $90,000 general fund is money that was in the current biennium for a project that won't be completed until in the early months of this biennium, and it allows the completion of that. It was approved by the emergency board in the 97-99 biennium, so it's just a carryover of existing resources. Let's see. And recommending package 122, the rail safety operating practice, that is with a reduction of 2 months salary for the recruitment period, that reduces it a small amount to $142,016, $7,000. And I'm recommending the full amount for the other packages for the total budget and 19.
Okay.
No budget. Now.
Is there a discussion on this recommendation?
Would you iterate again for me the Willamette Valley passenger rail, the $3.9 million for the passenger, I guess you said centers or whatever.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, Representative Q-Tub. Federal funds on train station improvement projects. These are authorized by the federal funding. These are train station improvements in Eugene and Albany, and the local communities are responsible for providing the 20% match, and so that is a total of $3.9 million.
So these are $3.9 million
federal funds.
Correct.
Senator Duke?
This is the portion where the $14 million of general fund was pulled out from high-speed rail, am I right?
That's correct.
Okay. I just want to throw it out that in terms of votes on the floor, that particular portion will cause some difficulty for the folks that I represent.
And my clock is focused. It's a part of the budget negotiations, I understand. And
yes.
And so I don't know if this is a good time to move forward with actually pulling it out.
We would like to remove it at this point. It still remains negotiable because certainly the bill's future might be impacted once it were to be brought for a vote. But there is currently dialogue going on between the leadership of the House and the Senate, and this is part of the scenario to negotiate our budget items, and this is one of the items.
Short a Christmas tree, how would it get back in later?
Well,
Mr. Chair, there is a separate bill that addresses the Willamette Valley Railroad.
It's
bill.
Yeah.
Do you have that number?
No, but I suppose you. I don't know the number.
This can travel and that can be decided and still.
Okay.
And Mr. Chair.
And it would actually require them to, they got to come back to the board to get the expenditure authorization for the fund. Because that's supposed to be contained in the Senate bill itself. And create the massive dollar amount that the appropriate is $14 million or whatever else.
Sure, it could, we could actually put the appropriation
in there
if that's what the legislature
is. But I don't want to do it in this one. We'll do it in that one because that's negotiated. Can we keep on?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yesterday we had a bill that was appropriating money into other budgets. We will have reappropriation, but this time it won't be in an omnibus bill that nobody knows about and is crafted in the middle of the night. It will go through the subcommittee. That's the difference. And yesterday we had one of those bills, and it was four different areas that we covered, and it's just a more honest way of doing it.
I just didn't know there was that on this.
Representative Beck, for the record, I wonder whether the staff or the agency knows how much Washington State put in for the corridor that's financed.
Mr. Chairman, we don't know how much they put in the past. It's $240 million for this biennium.
$240 million of their general fund plus whatever federal funds they leverage for that.
Representative
Beckman,
correct.
Representative
Carr. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a question. We got federal funds and general fund dollars that we're supposed to go into this. Are the federal funds that are, I'm looking at those 53 of the program budget, the federal funds that are available there, are they have to be spent on the three items that are listed there, or could they be spent somewhere else? And would it open up an opportunity for us to bond for the improvements to the rail line as a capital expenditure?
Claudia Howell, would you identify yourself?
Mr. Chair, Representative Starr, I'm Claudia Howell, manager of the rail division. I may have to ask you to restate part of that. The general fund money was designed to be operating funds. The federal money is capital. And without the federal money, will go to another corridor elsewhere in the country if we do not have the operating money.
Federal funds have to be spent on capital. They can't be spent on the operating side.
It has to be spent on capital, yes.
Okay. Further questions or discussions? Chair would entertain a motion to adopt the LFO recommendation.
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Representative Patridge now moves that the committee adopt the LFO recommendation of $22,379,172.19.05 FTE. And there are no budget notes, correct?
Yeah, can I make one comment?
Senator Duke.
I'm going to do this when I've been sitting in committee too long. I just note that I expect Coosay to be a well-developed community next session. They seem to sneak into different pieces here and there. I just think they got it on.
They'll be well-developed, but their schools are not going to be funded.
Well, Senator, I have
still on natural gas and rail and whatever else they need.
I have a response, but there is not going to be a Christmas though. However, there is going to be the Easter Bunny.
When we do Easter eggs at my house, everybody gets the color egg.
If there's no objection, then the motion, Representative Beck will be recorded as voting no. Representative Starr is voting no. Anyone else wishing to vote no? Anybody in the audience wishing to vote no? It's passed. We're going to close the hearing on House Bill 5053, the Oregon Department of Transportation, because we have to go back and continue the hearing and work session on House Bill 2153.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
I'd like the record to reflect that I'm approving the last vote with the reservation.
That's fine. Yeah. Thank you.
Ms. Lamont,
you're back again with some amendments.
Would you like to open the discussion?
Yes, we did.
Oh, did you?
I'll open it again. Work session on House Bill 2153.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, if you have in front of you the Dash 860 amendments to House Bill 2153, the changes for these amendments from the amendments that you discussed yesterday are that the section dealing with the Advanced Technology Center in Southern Oregon has been deleted. Section 7 has been added. That adds $1 million of lottery bonding proceeds outside of the cap for the Oregon Gardens project in Silverton. Section 9, subsection 2, that clarifies that for the programs that receive lottery bonding authority in this biennium inside the cap, with the exception of parks, the debt service will be paid out of the allocation made to the Economic Development Department for this biennium, and then future biennial adjustments will be made to put the lottery limitation in the appropriate agency. And those are the amendments that have been made to House Bill 2153.
Is there further discussion? Representative Beck?
I have no problem with the Oregon Garden. I just want to make sure that this is something that's been discussed in the legislature session, their need and what they want to do and their bill. Or
the Oregon Garden was approved in the last session.
Okay.
And this is a continuation of that. And
so everybody knows what, there's some sense of how the money to get used and the need, et cetera.
My understanding.
I believe the answer to that question is yes, that this is a project that is in the final stages of completion, that is intended to be a major tourist attraction to this part of the valley and to highlight Oregon's nursery project, products, I guess, which have become a significant export item for Oregon.
Okay, is there further discussion?
Mr. Chairman, I'm not comfortable with the bonding for the Oregon State Fair. I've not seen a management plan that I have asked for, because I think that before we give them more capital funding, you need to know what is the short-range plan to avoid their coming in for a deficit every session. And the long-range plan, where the best place and whether this is in fact going to be the right way to go by giving them the funding.
Senator Yee, if I can say, we still have the budget for the St. Bernard Committee. There is going to be a capital construction subcommittee, and they will be prioritizing those maintenance projects. This only authorizes the issuance of $10 million worth of bonds. This does not specifically identify project by project. That will be identified at a later date in another committee.
Yes. But, Mr. Chair, I did ask for the management plan, I would say, 6 weeks ago. I think we need to look at the plan, look at the executive summary of what they are proposing before I would feel comfortable in giving them bonding authority.
Would you like to come up, Mr. Vernon?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Rusty Vernon, Director of the Oregon State Fair. Mr. Chair, Senator Yee, if you recall, we visited with the committee and with the members of the committee, and we brought around both a detail of the capital projects that were planned within the biennium, the $10 million worth of project, detailing the buildings to be worked on and the specific repairs and capital projects within the individual structures and dollar amounts shown. We also had a outline of the timeline of those constructions, and we also brought in a quite large document, which was the strategic plan for the agency, which had among other things layouts, the long-range plans for the agency, and though we acknowledge that that plan needs to be updated, there in fact is a quite comprehensive set of documents of planning for both the capital and for the operations of the agency. Part of the money that is in this bonding capacity is to update this plan. We don't have any money to update the plan, but there in fact is a quite extensive plan that's been modified several times over the last 5 or 6 years, and it is the plan that we are operating with currently. So we do have a plan. We did, in fact, distribute it back to everybody.
Chairman, as far as I remember, the plan shows deficits. You have a deficit every session. And how are you going to avoid that deficit? Deficit in operations and the fact that the state has to put in a lot of money to pay for these bonds. I think it should be self-sufficient.
Mr. Chair, Senator Yee, there was a rather extensive audit study done by LFO, which looked at our operation and looked at other similar operations throughout the United States. And they found that we are just like the rest of our operations in the United States and like the other operations that are similar to us in the industry of the exposition or convention center or arena or any of these kind of buildings. Those buildings are paid for in their capital and maintenance out of public dollars. The programs that operate within those structures try to be self-sufficient. Our studies indicate that our programs are self-sufficient, though they are not in depth. The state fair, in fact, nets a significant profit. What we cannot do and what we are unable to do and what other organizations like us are unable to do is to maintain the capital structures. That's a fact of life in the exposition business. The reason that states, cities, counties, United or federal governments get involved into exposition centers and convention centers is because of the economic activity that they generate for the events that they produce. And we do about $137 million annually in economic activity, quite clearly the largest economic engine in the Mid-Willamette Valley. So we don't have any studies that indicate or do I even think there's possible to have a study that's going to indicate that we are going to operate in a self-sufficient style that is taking care of our capital assets. We should operate self-sufficiently in the programs that occur there, but we're not that much different from other institutions around the United States. So they don't operate that way either. They can't operate that way. And we compete against them, so we can't charge different rates than they do. There is the one other activity that's going on, which is that there is a feasibility study being put together with the city, the county, and the state involved in it, the business community involved in it, to look at different mechanisms for operating more effectively, and that is to look at public-private partnerships and to find ways to lessen the public load where we possibly can. And that study should be done within 6-7 months.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Bernie. Representative Patridge.
That's all I've heard. Tell Sergey, I talked with LFO. I talked with my sentiment at LFO. I was still concerned about this bill before it was amended last time. I'm still concerned about it in regard. My piece with the state is a little different. I think Marion County and Salem should come on board and help retire some of the debt. There is a way to do that, not only in their budget, which this committee still currently has, but also in another piece of legislation, which I'm having some amendments drafted for, specific Marion County and Salem, the city of Salem, have to come on board with the money before these bonds can even be issued. So. That's my plan in terms of
in terms of looking at that, and I think that that's important because somebody on this committee is very intense. But, I think that it's important that our county, you know, all the counties we come from are putting money up for this.
Just a reminder to this committee, this bill authorizes the issuance of the bond, but does not result in the issuance of the bond. That will occur through the capital construction bill as related to the state fair.
And that would be the interim
Year. Mm-hmm. I was trying to finish up. This was not the appropriate vehicle, is what I was told to deal with that issue. And so I will try and put them in the other.
But this authorizes the bonding. So we're kind of the cart before the horse, or the horse before the cart.
Well, you can't authorize it. They can't do them until we give them the authority to pay.
And that happens in the capital.
So that actually happens.
So this is the horse that goes before the cart.
We can't approve the money without
I just wanted to kind of serve kind of passage, but as you're working on all of that, if Marion County and the City of Salem are not cooperative, I have a community that is on record as wanting the state fair. They have an adequate amount of land, a four-lane highway, 20 minutes from Portland. Very interested in that. So just, I think that if they're not cooperative at some point, they ought to be reporting to the emergency board on their progress, and we ought to be able to determine that it's not going anywhere so that we can make it, you know, available to other parts of the state. And, I mean, I'd love to see it in Tillamook, but that's not a logical place. But there is a part of my district that is easily accessible, and it has the location very interesting.
I think the main message that we want to send forth from this committee, Mr. Vernon, is that we want some help from the local community, and if the local community has not received that message by now, perhaps they never will. But at the same time, we have to give you a time certain that we expect some leverage from the City of Salem and Marion County to do something. If not, then we need to start downsizing the fair in anticipation of future closures, because the problem is not going to be continually subsidized by the rest of Oregon for the economic benefit of Salem and Marion County.
Sure, it's a lot easier to sign a state fair than it is a prison. Not only when you have an uncooperative governor, actually, there are eight places that want to fit. Definitely wasn't one of them, but...
I feel like we're degenerating here in our discussion. Senator Yee.
I haven't received an exhaustive summary of the management plan, so I would appreciate it if you would provide that to me.
Okay.
Also, I'm not comfortable with the bonding for the Coos Bay pipeline.
Okay.
I think that's something the community should be responsible for.
Okay.
So,
is there further discussion?
That would be a no vote.
Okay. If not, the chair would move that we adopt the LFO amendment to the bill, House Bill 2153-816, and identified by the date of 6-16-99, with the deletion of Section 5 and the addition of Section 8. Is that it?
With the deletion of Move A 16, with the deletion of Section 5.
The amendments identified in the handing gross bill.
Right.
Is there discussion?
Mr. Chairman, just one question, and I absolutely agree with everything that's going on here, and I appreciate the other discussion, which really involves another bill. But the language that is at the preamble of Section 3 is really very, very broad, and I appreciate the fact that it is broad. It gives broad latitude for grants and loans to municipalities, businesses, and individuals to encourage real estate development, promote downtown community center development, affordable housing and other, and infill, promote business opportunities in Oregon's distressed and rural communities. Is that broad language that goes well outside the scope of the intended funding, the intended funding vehicle, those, the vehicle will be, the actual institution which will be funded, will be perhaps narrower than that.
Mr. Chair, Representative Butler, that section deals directly with the funding for the Community Development Incentive Project Fund that Mr. Repine discussed yesterday.
Okay,
and the use of those dollars will be contingent, if in fact they get any proceeds, will be contingent on the plan established by the group that was set up in 2088 yesterday.
I'm sorry, I was asking for that portion of the discussion early on. I beg your pardon.
Okay.
Is there further discussion? Is there objection to the adoption of these amendments?
Yes.
Senator Yee and Senator Dukes?
Yeah.
I think we have enough to carry. Now we need to move House Bill 2153 as amended to the full Ways and Means Committee. Is there a discussion?
I'm still moved.
Representative Butler now moves House Bill 2153 to the full Ways and Means Committee as amended. Is there further discussion? Now the clerk will call the roll.
No.
Aye.
No.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Representative Starr, would you like to share All right. The committee stands adjourned until 8 a.m. tomorrow.